Welcome to the Adult and Teen Challenge of the Upper Cumberland podcast. This is Pastor Tim McLaughlin, Executive Director. Glad that you're tuning in today. And hope you had a great weekend. Hope that you're just enjoying this fall weather as much as I am. Last week, I shared with you a message on the word and power and just how important it is for us to truly know, truly understand the word of God. There's probably no way that you're ever going to memorize everything. I shouldn't say there's no way. I mean, there's always a way, but most people don't memorize all of the scripture. A lot of people, I've heard people say this, well, I know what it says, but I can't quote it verbatim or whatever. But it's important that we understand. It's important that we know the word. Memorize as much scripture as you can, but more than just memorizing the scripture, knowing what the scripture means, knowing what it truly has to do with your life and what the intent of the author, what they were writing about. You know, just like I always think about this in Acts chapter 19, when the seven sons of Sceva went to the man that was demon-possessed, the devil, and he said, they said, we command you to come out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And the demon looked at him and said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? See, he ran them out of town naked. He was able to defeat them because they did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ himself. We need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. We need to know the word of God for ourselves. It's good to read the word. It's good to go to church and listen to the word. All of that stuff helps, but we need to study to show ourselves approved so that we understand. So when the trials of life come, when the enemy raises up against us, when things get weary in our lives, when, you know, if they came in and were to take away your Bible, do you have enough word in you to be able to sustain yourself for the remainder of your life? I sit in churches so many times and I hear preachers preach messages, and sometimes they just assume that everybody that's in their congregation or everybody that shows up knows. I've heard people say stuff like, well, you know the story. Well, what if there's a guest there? What if there's somebody that's never been to church? What if a new convert walks in and has never read the scriptures? And then now you've got this pastor who's just preaching, but he's not really explaining what it is that they need to know. He's not making it plain for them to completely understand. And I've also been in churches where pastors say stuff and they're preaching a message and it's a great message, but they'll read something and all of a sudden it just kind of sparks an interest in me. They'll say a passage of scripture or something and it just grabs a hold of me and I can't let it go. I want to just press in and I want to know more about that. And both of those are where I've got my message for today, is I want to share these things with you. So if you have your Bibles today, go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Now, how many of you use that word on a regular basis? Circumspectly. I heard somebody preach this word not too long ago, this passage of scripture. They were preaching differently than what I want to share with you, but they used this scripture circumspectly. And right when they said it, I just lost the rest of everything that they had to say because I wanted to know, what does that mean? What is circumspectly? That's not a word that we use regularly. So he goes on, the Apostle Paul writing, says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, I don't know where you're at listening to this. I don't know what you're doing, if you're driving down the road or you're sitting at home. But just say to yourself, I am not a fool. Praise God. We've got to declare it and we've got to believe it. So the Apostle Paul says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. circumspectly. The word circumspectly means to be cautious, to be careful and to consider all circumstances and possible consequences. So the Apostle Paul says, see then that you walk circumspectly. See then that you're walking cautiously, considering the consequences. In other words, everything we do, everything we say, we need to make sure that we are being cautious, considering the consequences of our actions and our words. You know, we talk about you reap what you sow, and we say things like that, but you need to understand the truth of all of this. It's why it's so important that you are not only saved, but that you make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. See, if Jesus is Lord of your life, if you've given him the command to sit on the throne of your heart, if you have allowed him to take over every thought and everything in you, if that is true, then everything that you do, you'll run it past the Spirit of God that lives in you, and you'll make sure that every thought, every word that you say, every action that you make, that you're running it by him. And what he will do is he will check you on things. He will let you know if it's wrong. He will let you know if what you're getting ready to say is not good, if what you're getting ready to do is not good. The Holy Spirit will bring conviction. The Holy Spirit will bring correction into your life, but we need to run everything by him. We need to walk circumspectly. I like what the NASB says. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. We need to be wise. We need to be cautious in the things that we do. You need to think about it. When James says this, James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So James is saying that we need to be quick to listen, but we need to be slow in our speaking. I remember when I first got hired on staff in Trinity Assembly years ago, and I got called into the office all the time because I would say things to people. I mean, I spent 10 years in the car business. I just believe in making things plain, but there's an etiquette that goes to pastoring, and I'm learning after 20 years. I'm still learning this. But, you know, people would say something and I'd say, you can't do that. That's stupid. And they would go and they would tell Pastor Mike, they said, you know, he called me stupid. And I'd get called in the office. Pastor Mike's like, you can't say those things. And so somebody began to share with me, James, and I began to break it down. And what I started doing in my own life was, before I would respond to something, before I would say something, I would say it in my mind first. Now, a lot of times people would sit there and look at me, they're like, are you okay? Did you hear what I said or whatever? And I would say, yeah, but I would choose my words wisely. I would say what I was getting ready to say to them in my mind and see how it sounded to me before I said it to them, to make sure that I didn't offend them if at all possible. Because I can't constantly go around offending people if I'm trying to minister to people. And so then also when we offend people, they get angry or we get angry at something that they say or their response to us. So when James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, that's we need to think about every thought. We need to think about every word that we're getting ready to say and be cautious of those things so that we're living, walking, and talking circumspectly. See, Paul is talking about walking, living your daily life carefully as to consider all possible consequences of your words and your actions. Not to walk in a constant fear, but to walk in the understanding of God's word. It's so important that we understand God's word, that we're not just reading the scripture and just going right across it, but that we're looking at these words like circumspectly and things like this, and we're trying to dig out the meaning. We're trying to dig out, who is Paul talking to? Why was he saying this to him? What's going on in this situation? How does this impact my life? That's how we need to take the word. And if we do those things, then that word will get in our heart. The more we study it, the more we store it. Let me say that again. The more we study the word, the more we store the word. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 119:11, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against God. If we study the word, if we're grasping a hold of it, if we're hungering for the things of God, then we're hiding those things in our heart. And if we hide those things in our heart, then when we need them to come out, they're there and we won't sin against God. We're walking circumspectly. The Bible says, Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes not to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you have life and have it more abundantly. So the Apostle Paul is reminding us as he's talking to the church at Ephesus, in order for us to have the abundant life that Jesus is talking about, we need to learn to walk in wisdom. Now, the Greek word for wise in verse 15 is the word sophos. Sophos means not necessarily applying to brilliance or scholastic training, but rather the ability to apply with skill what one knows. Let me say that again. The word wise in verse 15, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, sophos. Not necessarily implying brilliance or scholastic training, but rather the ability to apply with skill what one knows. I think about some of the jobs that I've had and what I've been through. You know, I was in the Marine Corps and I got promoted in the Marine Corps. And then I went to work at a factory and I got promoted quick in the factory. And then I was in the car business and I got promoted quickly in the car business. And then I come into ministry and all I wanted to do is I was content being a servant. I was content serving my pastor. And now for the last 12 years, I've been the executive director and pastor of this ministry. I never chose to be a boss. I never wanted to do those things. But God has gifted me with the ability to talk to people. God had gifted me with certain skills. I may not be a builder. I may not be an electrician. I may not have engineering skills, but the skills that I do have is the way that I can speak to people, the way that I can make things plain, the way that I can study these out in a way that to help others understand them. And so I need to use the skills that God has given me, the abilities to apply these things so that others can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I remember several years ago and when God was dealing with me and calling me into ministry, that I would always have these encounters with the most unlikely of people. God would always put me in these positions, whether I was at the factory or in the car business. I would have these conversations with some of the most unlikely people that most people wouldn't think about having conversations with about God. And they would always say to me, they said, it's just like, you know, you say these things to a way that we can understand them. I've made this comment before. I am just a simple preacher preaching a simple gospel, and I just want to make it plain so that others can receive it. I want to make it plain so that others can run with it and do what they need to do. Habakkuk says, write the vision and make it plain so that others can run with it. I want to make the gospel plain. I want to make this saving knowledge plain. I want to make the relationship with Jesus plain so that others can know what I know, so that they can live the abundant life. So I want to make sure that I'm living the life that God has called me to live, not as a fool, but as a wise person. This is particularly applied to our spiritual life, our spiritual truths. See, Paul is saying we must take these things which we have learned and we need to apply them to our daily life. Whether you're in ministry, whether you work in a factory, whether you're a mom taking, you know, training up your children, whatever that looks like. We need to make sure that we're applying the skills that we have, the knowledge that we have about God and about His Word and make them plain. And then we also need to receive those things from others that are more educated and have greater knowledge than us. Then Paul goes on and he says this. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The word redeeming in Webster's means serving to offset or to compensate for a deficit. serving to offset or to compensate for a deficit. Once again, the NASB says it this way. It says, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. Would you not say that today is evil? That the days we're living in are evil? You think about some of the biggest topics out there right now. One of the biggest things is the LGBTQ. I just saw where an NFL coach got fired. Actually, he resigned. He was going to get fired because of a comment that he made. Now, whether he made it to slur someone or not, the LGBT community jumped all over it and forced him into resignation. And then I see others that you got to be careful. The words that you say, certain colleges now are threatening students that they're going to kick them out of college if they don't use the right phrase, the right wording when they're talking to people that may be transgender or bisexual or, you know, confused and don't know what they really are. And we're living in these evil days. We've got people that are so angry and they're calling it racism, and it's not racism. I just read in the news where there was an African American woman dressed up as a KKK member, writing racist stuff on a wall using spray paint, racist graffiti. It was a African American woman dressed up like KKK writing racist graffiti, and yet wondering why people are so angry and fighting. And yet it's some of these people doing it, trying to cause it themselves. We're living in this evil day. You know, I don't know. I probably watch more TV than I ought to watch. And I don't watch near as much as some people that I know. But you can't even watch a simple program on television without there always being a gay couple or something in the program. They always feel like they have to interject somebody, have this gay character in the film, even if it doesn't fit. And every commercial that you watch, you know, you used to watch these commercials and it'd be a husband and wife in the park playing, and now it's two men or it's two women or it's a transgender. And we've just, all of this stuff is being force fed. See, if you're a Christian, if you're a born again believer, if you're a child of God, if you understand these things are sin, you don't want to watch that stuff, but it's the stuff that's being thrown down our throats. And they want to talk about freedom of speech and the way that they believe, but yet they want to shove it down everybody else and make everybody else pay for it. We're living in evil days. The word redeeming, again, means to offset or to compensate for the deficit. And we're living in those days right now where we need to redeem our lives because of the deficit of the sin that's going on. Look at this. Look at what the Word of God has to say. And I'm not just trying to pick on the go against the LGBTQ. We need to love those people. I remember years ago, me and a friend of mine, he was a pastor also. We were sitting in a restaurant, and the young man, the waiter that came to wait on us, you could just tell that he was probably homosexual. He was probably gay. You could just tell by the way he carried himself and the way he talked. And instantly this pastor friend of mine started talking him down to him, trying to, you know, really treat him badly. And then when the young man took our drink order and walked away, he started making all these, just really bad jokes. And as I was sitting there, I started to kind of laugh. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, how will you ever win him to Christ if all you're doing is belittling him and insulting him? And I instantly looked at the pastor. I said, we need to stop right now. And he said, what's going on? And I said, what we're doing is wrong. And he said, well, I was just making a joke. I said, but it's not funny. If this young man, if God brought us to this restaurant to have this waiter for such a time as this, we need to share the good news of Jesus, not mock him. And so for the rest of the meal, I continually talked to the young man. I ministered to him. Now, I'm not going to lie and say I led him to Christ, but I invited him to church. I gave him my business card. I gave him my cell phone number. I said, I would love to minister to you. I would love to talk to you more about what's going on. Because I told him, I said, I was a former drug addict and a former alcoholic. You're dealing with homosexual sin, but sin is sin. And we all need a Savior. We all need to know Jesus. And we, as children of God, we need to redeem that time during these evil days. Again, go with me to Romans chapter 1 and look at this. Look what the Bible says. This is why it's so important to understand the Word of God. Romans chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse 22. He says, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds, four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also, the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which is due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are all whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Paul is saying right here, and it's not just the homosexuality. He lists several things, even to the point where people that are disobedient to their parents. Listen, these people that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But how many of them are ignorant? Paul starts off that we need to be wise. We need to know the truth so that we, in turn, can redeem the time, that we can make the most of the time that we have, sharing our testimony with others so that others would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. How are people ever going to know unless we tell them? I think Saint Aquinas is the one, Saint one of them is credited with saying the only gospel some people will ever hear or ever see is us. See, we need to live that out in front of people. We need to live out the Word. We need to know the Word. We can't become like the rest of the world. We can't laugh at their filthy jokes. We can't put up with their sin and do nothing. But we need to understand the truth of God's Word so that we can be wise and not foolish. We need to be wise and not foolish. We need to walk circumspectly, not as unwise people, but we need to be careful on how we do things, because if we don't, there is a consequence for the things that we say. There's a consequence for our actions. There's a consequence when we do not lead others to an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. So again, you could say this without changing the scriptures. You could take this passage of scripture that I've just shared with you, and you could say this: take God's word, which I am teaching you, and apply them to your daily life to offset the deficit of the world's standards, which because these days we are living are evil. So again, you can read what the Apostle Paul wrote, and I'm saying this in the New King James. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Make it plain so that people can understand it. Take God's word, which I am teaching you, and apply them to your daily life to offset the deficit of the world's standards, because these days we are living in are evil. I like what Paul says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. He says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. We must walk cautiously toward those that are living in the world's standards and not by God's standards. We need to consider the consequences of our actions if we follow them instead of following God. Why is this especially important to us? Because the time is short. Christ's return is close at hand, and Paul is encouraging the church at Ephesus, he's encouraging the church at Colossae, and he's encouraging us to redeem the time so that we can have the abundant life and also tell others how they can live the abundant life. Friends, it's time for you and I to walk circumspectly. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to minister your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ and for the opportunity for us to know you, that your spirit would indwell us, to lead, guide, and direct us, that we may walk in a manner that is pleasing to you, redeeming the time, being wise but not unwise in the evil days that we are living in. Father, we love you and we thank you. Help us, Lord, to be a light to a dark world, taking every opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ, Him crucified, buried, and risen from the grave. He is alive. I thank you that my God is alive. Father, bless each and every one that's listening today. Lord, we give you all praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a blessed week.